that would last for forever. Shrewd and strategic decisions to do well and to stand out as a community. But in God's sense of strong and courageous, it's not these ideas that he's trying to tell Joshua to follow. But instead, I think the more appropriate understanding of these two words would be to be daring and vulnerable. To be daring and vulnerable. A famous TED Talk speaker and author of many books, Brené Brown, has been an authority in understanding what exactly vulnerability means. And in her sharing, being vulnerable is actually the biggest strength, is to be able to come to senses of your brokenness and to embrace other people's brokenness through your own brokenness. And in the same sense, being courageous in the kingdom sense is to be able to admit your own brokenness in the fallen world, but in the same time, realize that it is this brokenness that God uses to bless the world around us. And in daring, it's not the daring sense to be strong. It's not the daring sense to be powerful. But just as Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount, be strong is like being meek. Be strong is like being meek. And the definition of meek is actually not being timid, but being gentle. It's about having the power, but being wise to control it for the sake of other people. Being meek is having power, yet being gentle to use that power wisely for the sake of other people. And as we look at what God has charged us to us as people of God, and as we have looked at the Great Commission earlier today, it's not about overpowering non-believers or trying to convince believers. It's not about trying to use any condescending manner to win over people when we try to bless the world. It's about loving the world the same way Jesus does. It's to show them the light, the hope, the peace, the joy, the same candles that we lit during Advent. To use these qualities of God to engage the world. But this might be a tall task to ask of us, to be gentle even when we have power, to be courageous, to be vulnerable when it is a world where we know it's going to hurt us, when there's all these dangers physically, psychologically, and mentally, or even spiritually outside the church community. But the reassuring thing is that God repeated over and over, as he said in Joshua 1, that he is with us. He will be with us. He will not leave us or forsake us. For the Lord our God is with us wherever we go. And the interesting thing is that the word with in the original Hebrew, and when you think about grammar in Hebrew, it's slightly different. Like, the word with you is actually one word. And so when you combine the whole word, God is with you, it becomes Emmanuel. God is with us, Emmanuel. And this promise stood firm, not just in the Old Testament. It stood firm even in New Testament, in early church, and even today, when he said, God is Emmanuel. Jesus is Emmanuel. He is with us. And we can be daring and vulnerable because of this very single fact that he is with us. We can be vulnerable and daring to love because he first became vulnerable and daring by coming into this world in human form as a baby, where he is dependent of the caring of other human beings. He is vulnerable to pain, to suffering, to rejection, to abandonment, to even to death on the cross as a way to show his love for us. And it is because he first became daring and vulnerable that we can also learn to be daring and vulnerable in love. But this idea of God with us is not just for us, per se, in this community. God is also with the world outside of Lord's Grace Church. Lord is also with us outside the greater church of Vancouver, Canada, or even the world. God is with those who are broken, who does not know him, who are following the idols of this world as ways to escape, as way to find value, to find identity. God is with those who are following stories that are harmful to their own lives, those who have issues with their own sense of identity. God is also with those who are in need of hope in the streets, those who are rich in the skyscrapers making millions of dollars but can't find meaning in life. And so my charge to you today mimics kind of this imagery that I have found many years ago, and I never found a chance to use this, but now I finally do. It's called the Pando Forest. So this is a forest that is found in Oregon. And what's so interesting about the Pando Forest is that it's actually one single organism. The entire forest is the same organism. It grows as one entity. So there are all these shoots of trees that springs up, but they're all from the same tree. Kind of like when you look at strawberries, like there's a huge bunch across the whole field, but they're the same plant. So life and death is together in the different shoots. They're interdependent. They live together, they survive together, and they grow together. And likewise, I think LGC is kind of like this community over the years. Even though we've gone through a lot of ups and downs, we were stuck together because we feel that God has a plan for us, that God is with us. He hasn't abandoned us. That God will continue to do great things if we are faithful and stick around and be patient for that time to cross the Jordan, that time to happen for the new stage in life. But the blessing of community, this close community, also comes with the pitfall. The pitfalls of complacency and the pitfalls of inwardness. When we have a really good and close community, our preoccupation ends up being with those around us. We always want to spend time with those close to us. We always want to care for those who are in our midst, that are like us. And as a fate to the Pando Forest, they're actually now an endangered forest because of the same issue of inwardness. There's no way to preserve it unless human beings actively sustain it. And in the same way, if we focus only on the inwardness, on the community, and only grow from the within, we're not going to last very long either. And who knows, maybe if we focus too much about ourselves, there will be a point that God will bring up some other community to replace us for his kingdom work. So as we look at the story of Dunkirk, it was a retreat. They were backing out from what they see as a mistake they made because of the pride and thinking, oh, we're doing so well. And when they were falling back, when the Axis troops were quote-unquote squashing them, they had to do something. But retreat is not defeat. Retreat is not defeat. Sometimes retreating is an opportunity to learn, to recoup, to grow for God's mission and plan for us. And perhaps for the last 5 or 6 years in LGC is a time of retreat for us, where we are trying to re-examine our lives, our community, to find meaning, to find God's purpose in us. And at the same time, we have seen signs of life again, with the renewal of those who sticked around, and to see new faces who contributed and made meaning in part of this great story of Lord's grace or even God's plan in this world. But in the same time, as we look in this juncture, we shouldn't just be complacent with where we are at right now. Maybe this is the time when we have to think about being daring, being vulnerable, to cross the Jordan to the other side that God has called us to be. But what is this other side of Jordan for us? Is it about being more intentional with those around us in our lives? Is it about being intentional to the community around this church building? Or is it about being intentional to be blessings of hope, joy, and peace in the entire city of Vancouver? So how would you, LGC, participate in the story of this great author of life? Which side of the Jordan would LGC be part of or be wanting to be part of in this next chapter that God has prepared for you? Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for the blessings you have in our community. Thank you for being there in good times and bad times, in troubling times, and in times of harvest throughout the 30 plus years in LGC. Lord, as we look back until we count the blessings, we also pray that we will be alert, we'll be listening ears to what you have for us in the years and months ahead. As we grow together as a community, may you continue to remind us to be daring and vulnerable in the ways we engage the world outside of this church building, Lord. May you remind us that wherever we go, we'll be your light, your salt, to bring your news, your meaning of life, and your joy and peace and love to those who are in need of you, Lord. Lord, as we continue to live out this story, may you remind us that just as we are important for each other, you are also important as the author of our lives. And may you remind us that we all have a responsibility as your disciple to bring this value and identity and meaning to those who wish to be part of this community. Thank you for this time, and in Christ's name we pray. Amen.